pase, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Wednesday, September 4th, 2019. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Mullins. How are you doing today, Dwayne?
I'm doing well. Rainy, dreary day. I can see fall coming from my spot up here by the airport. The wind's coming from the northwest. Never a good sign, but hopefully we got a couple good weeks left, and hopefully we can get through this international break with cheery topics like today's. No, wait, never mind.
Yeah, today won't be a cheery topic, but I think it's important that we do talk about it. We pussyfoot around yesterday talking about racism in Italian football, saying, yeah, we do deserve, this deserves a show. We need to do a show, entire show about it, where we have time to dig deep in this conversation and to maybe rebuttal the letter of the Ultras fans from Inter. That is quite disturbing to me. We'll read it out loud in a few minutes, and obviously we'll recap the incident that happened over the weekend. But Dwayne, you know what's weird? It's happening today as well. There's no professional soccer game, at least that I could find, happening today. It's international break. The friendlies are starting Thursday and for the next week or so. Today, it's clubs practicing, teammates finding themselves after a couple of months of professional club play. Now it's a training camp, sort of, or training few days for international teams.
Yeah, it's a pretty dead time in the calendar. I mean, most leagues, as we well know, do take the international break. That's not universal. There are leagues, particularly secondary leagues, because they don't realistically have international players going out. But the international game dips pretty deep. We saw, what, 3-4 players from the Canadian Premier League, which is 6 months old, get call-ups for international competition. So that sort of suggests you how deep the international game's tangled web goes and why we need to take these breaks. But I find this one so frustrating, Kevin, before we get into the topic today, because we're just getting going. You know, everything's exciting. And then, boom, it's like this wet noodle thrown at you in the middle of your excitement. So we take a pause, and we'll get through it. And, you mentioned, you know, as a segue back into it, racism in Italian football, and certainly that is a huge tinderbox of this issue in Italy. But we both recognize that this isn't, you know, universal to Italy. This happens everywhere. Hell, we talked about on Two Solitudes last week a alleged incident of racist speech by a coach towards a player in the Canadian Premier League. So we're not by any means suggesting this doesn't happen anywhere else and that Italy is only the place this happens. It just is the place where we've had a lot of recent examples.
Yeah, and publicized events that were talked about in many media over the years. Because it's over the years. When we look at Cagliari especially, it has been years now that they have been accused of racist abuse to players. And most of the time, it's the same incident, Dwayne, as well. It's monkey chants directed at a player of a different color of skin. It's literally that, not like, I don't want to say simple, because it's not simple, but that abuse of monkey chants at an opponent, a black player, to distract him during the game, I can't believe we're talking about if it's okay or not to do this in 2019. It never was okay. It's not at the person yelling the insult to determine if it's racist or not. It's the person who receives the insult. If he feels like it is, it is, and that's the end of the story, and that's where we have to act on it. But just to recap a bit the incidents, after scoring a goal in Serie A play, Inter Milan versus Cagliari in the weekend, the opposing fans at the Curva, and that's where the Ultras fans are for Cagliari, starting doing monkey chants directed at Romelu Lukaku, newly player for Inter Milan. And after the game, Romelu Lukaku, of course, went on social media and everywhere, and they like, it's unacceptable. I hope everyone comes with me. I hope that players band together to try to put a stop to the racism. So before we go back to go and talk about the rebuttal, Dwayne, I just want to get your not opinion, because it's a fact, but the reaction of Romelu Lukaku on that incident. How would you think, was it handled correctly if you were him? I know it's hard for us, and we need to fully explain this if you're just listening to us in podcast. I'm a 35-year-old white man from Montreal. Dwayne is a white man from Toronto. It's hard for us sometimes to grasp the entirety of the situation, but just on the incident itself, what was your thought?
Yeah, two white guys, for sure. Look, it's disappointing, but at the same time, my reaction was kind of a non-reaction, and that's a big part of the problem, in the sense that we're not shocked by this anymore. We're not surprised by this stuff happening, just in the same way that people weren't necessarily surprised by acts of hooliganism back in the 80s, right? It was just, that's what football people did. And now, unfortunately, and everyone's being cast in this light, unfortunately, there are a lot of people out there that hear these racism in the terraces, and they go, eh, that's what happens out there. And, you know, kind of even the players are, you know, they fight back. There's certain ones that are much more vocal than others. Raheem Sterling in England certainly is a guy, that a high-profile player that has really pushed back against it in articulate ways to sort of fight the trolls. But a lot of people, a lot of players, just ignore the trolls, because that's what we've been trained to do forever. But I don't think ignoring the trolls, you know, think back to your childhood. Did the bully stop because you ignored him? No, the bully just kept going. Yeah. That was really poor advice that we got back then, and it's poor advice now.
Well, I was bullied. I was. I'm going to be honest with everyone here. I was a victim of bullying, and do you know when it stopped? When I took my fist and put it in the other guy's mouth. But it's not necessarily the answer, though. And that's where this becomes a slippery slope, is how do you combat it without necessarily giving a platform to the culprit and not glorifying his actions. You mentioned one thing that I think is important to me, and the word that came out of my mind is keyboard warrior, which doesn't necessarily apply, but it does in a way. You're part of a crowd. You're not necessarily singled out. And if you're many people doing the same thing, you're not going to personally be indicted for what you have done, because there's the hive mentality. The crowd itself reacts a different way than a single person. And I think it does the protection of the feeling of being protected by the crowd and be like, I can say whatever I want, it'll never come back to me. And the omerta in the crowd, the rules that we're not going to snitch on each other in the crowd, especially in curvas around the world, for a lot of things which I can understand. Like, oh, we're not going to snitch on each other to say who lit the smoke bombs. That's one thing. But when it comes out to racism, maybe it's about time that we start pointing fingers instead of putting blinders up and protecting each other. If you are in curva around the world, if you are in a supporter section, if you are in a ultras group, whichever identity you're using to identify yourself as a supporters group, I don't think it's ever okay to be racist, and I don't think it's ever okay to protect each other for that aspect. If we truly want to get rid of it, if we don't give a damn, then it's all well and good, but we need to be honest about it. One of my best bosses in life told me one thing, Dwayne. He always told me, your boots have to follow your lips, which means you got to put the work when you put the talk in. It's all well and good saying this needs to be stopped, but something needs to be done about it.
No, for sure. And look, we both much less now, but have in the past, both of us have been in what you would classify as ultra sections. For those that don't know, I was in U sector for a long time. I still associate with a lot of people from that, generally the older guys now. I don't really hang out with the day-and-day folks anymore, but generally speaking, you know, I still would probably be considered part of that group, and that is, I guess... much older and tamer now, but certainly in her day, we've gotten involved in shenanigans from time to time and had members that did things in the stands that we did do that self-protect thing. And it always sort of made me uncomfortable. It's, you know, at what point are we just allowing that slippery slope to continue? And I struggled with that. And, you know, it's not the only reason I started to step away from the day-to-day aspect. I still enjoy watching the odd game from down in there, but it's not, you know, a big part of it has been not wanting to be cast in the same brush as some of the more aggressive stuff, you know, and certainly a lot of our listeners will be familiar with some of the issues that happened in Toronto supporters section over the last few years, right? Not my group, but doesn't matter. I was there. I was part of that. So I'm cast with it. And this is, I think, how you have to think about it. If you're reluctant to speak out, is that you don't want to be seen this way, do you? You don't want football to be seen this way, do you? Soccer, football, whatever you call it. You don't want that. So you do have to step up. You do have to speak up. And that can be difficult, particularly in the stands. I fully get that. I have been in the stands where I've heard, you know, not racism, but homophobic chants made. And you want to say something, but you're in a crowd of 10,000 people and you might not even feel safe saying anything, right? Exactly. So it's, I think, up to the leadership and up to the leadership of the clubs to work with the leaderships of the ultras groups to make sure that this gets stamped out. But when you get to what's happening in Italy, Kevin, yeah, I'll let you jump in before I continue.
Sorry, you actually nailed it. The videos from Cagliari with the chants at Romelu Lukaku. There's some videos coming from the stands where you see people shouting at the people who are doing the racist abuse, saying, "What are you doing?" And then you see those people being shunned away and be like, "Dude, we stay safe. Don't want us to beat you up. Get away." And it's that mentality too. And I think that's a very big problem where you have situations where the mentality of we need to protect each other goes further than the decency to how we act. And that's, we got to get our priorities straight sometimes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And look, I can't speak directly to what it's like to be part of an ultra group in Italy or any part of the world where it's there's much more intensity, we'll call it, to be safe, involved with what happens. I can't speak to that. I can only speak to what I know here. But I know here that there always are avenues, I should say, for this stuff to be dealt with. And if you are a member or you are an observer, I think you need to reach out and make sure this happens. I mean, stuff has to happen. We have to stop this because it does tar the whole sport. Do you not think that when people hear the P word chanted in a stadium, and again, this is the most common one in North America, that there aren't people turned away, particularly people that would be targeted by that word? It's so disheartening that this happens. And obviously, you know, this is a stick to sports kind of topic. I'm sure there are some of our listeners who would rather us be breaking down tactics right now. But what I will say to that is that you can't stick to sports because life doesn't avoid sports. And this flare up of racism and homophobia and all that is part and parcel with a edgierness to the world right now. And we're caught up in it in the sports world. And, you know, if you want to fight back against it, you have to fight back in your own backyard first. You have to, you know, we always talk about hashtags, support local soccer, support local football. Well, fight back against racism locally. That's, I think, what we here can do best. We can't change what's happening in Italy. We can only hope that they have the wherewithal to do it. But what we can do here is make sure that it doesn't spread further and further into our sections, because I've seen it, not racism, but as I say, homophobia, I've seen it. And it's not that big of a leap to suggest that you might get someone simpler or someone similar doing something similar here. And yeah, it's disheartening.
No, exactly. And the reaction from the fans of Inter themselves is quite troubling to a lot of people. And I think it's important that we read verbatim the letter wrote by the fans of Inter directed directly at Lukaku. And of course, the caveat here is Romelu Lukaku is a big name in the world of football. And the fact that it's happened to him with the other instances of the racism abuse in Cagliari, with Cagliari Fan of the Curva, with Moise Kean, with Blaise Matuidi over the last year, and other incidents as well in 2017 and 2016 involving Cagliari as well. All this comes into a bigger spotlight than maybe before and maybe now will be the famous straw that breaks the camel's back. But here is the fans of Inter with their reaction, and this is directed directly at Romelu Lukaku. "We are really sorry you thought that what happened in Cagliari was racist," the letter, written in English and Italian, says. "You have to understand that Italy is not like many other North European countries where racism is a real problem. We understand that it could have seemed racist to you, but it's not like that. In Italy, we use some ways, in quotation, only to help our teams, in quotation, and to try to make our opponent nervous, not for racism, but to mess them up." Just a pause in the quote here. What he actually is saying, what they're saying is, we use racist abuse to get you mad so that you'll not play as well. Basically, that's what they're saying. And I'm just going to continue to read and we can comment after on it. So, we are a multi-ethnic fan organization and we have always welcomed players from everywhere. However, we have always used that way with other teams' players in the past and we probably will in the future. We are not racist and so are not the Cagliari fans. You have to understand that in all Italian stadiums, people cheer for their teams, but at the same time, they used to cheer against the opponents not for racism, but to help their own teams. Please consider this attitude of Italian fans as a form of respect for the fact they are afraid of you for the goals you might score against their teams, and not because they hate you or they are racist. True racism is a completely different story, and all Italian football fans know it very well. That is the end of the letter and the quotes by Inter fans directed at Romelu Lukaku, Dwayne.
Well, I mean, it's tone deaf, and it's just dumb is what it is. But it also reflects what you hear a lot nowadays with this, oh, you're just being PC or you're just being that. They're asking for permission to be assholes, basically, right? And the excuse is, oh, we're just trying to get under your skin. We're just trying to get that. And you know what? I believe that a lot of them truly do think that way. I do believe that a lot of them in their hearts don't believe that black people or brown people or Asian people or whoever are lesser than them. I believe that. But the reality is some don't. And by saying these things, you are not just being harmful to that, you are spreading that false belief to those that don't. And we've seen this across the world where it's a very dangerous precedent when people start to truly believe that there are others in the world that are lesser than them. They're not just acting out with words, they're acting out with violence in many, many different ways around the world right now. And that's getting way into the stick to sports stuff when I get to say that, but that is the absolute reality. And all you have to do is turn on Dan CNN or Fox News, if you wish, whoever, whatever side you're on, to see that play out in real time. So this is a dangerous, slippery slope.
It is a very dangerous, slippery slope. And one thing that this doesn't come from me, because I wasn't exposed and I wasn't subjugated to this kind of things in my life, but what I was told, and that's from a sexist point of view, a racist point of view, and a homophobic point of view, when you mention comments and someone gets offended, it's not your decision. It's not your prerogative to decide if what you said to that person is racist or not. It's the prerogative of the person who feels insulted to decide if what you said or what you or the way you acted was abusive, sexist, racist, homophobic, misogynist. Add the adjective you want. But it's not the person who mumbles the word that decides if those words are hurtful. And it's not your call. And to the fans of Inter, to the fans in the stands saying, oh, calm down, we're just doing this to get you riled up, and obviously it's going, take it as a respect. Yeah, that's how it starts. That's how it continues. That's how probably a lot of people were made to be accept the abuse with this narrative, with this reason, saying, oh, just take it for what it is. It's because you're so good. Yeah, I'm sure Jackie Robinson was told that in baseball in the 50s when he was in Montreal. Like, yeah, the racist abuse is because you're so good. Don't worry about it. Yeah, I'm sure it's what it is.
Yeah, I don't know. It's all rooted in something. I mean, this whole conversation, that old letter reminds me of exactly what Mexican fans will say with the P-word debate, right? Which is something we've had many times here before. They're just two sides of the same coin, really. And it's just silly. I mean, look, I understand the desire to not sanitize stadiums. I do get that, and I do empathize with that, but that isn't what this is. This is human decency. This is human respect at a base level that should be – you should be able to still have an edgy supporter section. You should be still have a supporter section that does get under the skin and help your team without crossing these lines of basic human decency that we're talking about here today. This should not be a debate. And to get back to, you know, a question we had yesterday is how do you stop it? Well, it's a difficult thing to do because it's a societal, as I said, but they outlined how to stop it in that letter. They're telling us that the reason they're doing it is to help their team. So you have to make sure that if they do it, they are hurting their team. Yeah. That is how you stop it.
Well, you know, in life, when there's fines to bosses or to representative or to something, when someone does something not by the rules, they get a fine. And usually that fine is monetarily. And it hurts them where it hurts in real life. If it hurts your pocket and your bottom line and you can't feed your family in the same way because of something you did, trust me, you're going to think twice before doing it the next time. You have to apply that reasoning to the sporting world. Does a $20,000 fine to a big club really equivalent to something? It's a slap on the wrist, and it's more of a, okay, if you're going to do it again, the fine's going to be bigger, but it won't affect your bottom line, which is not about the money, but it's about performances. It's about the pitch. Cagliari is not a powerhouse in Serie A. They're not Juventus, they're not Napoli, and heck, they're not Inter Milan. You duck them 10 points for a consistent racist abuse over the years towards opposing players? Well, trust me, if they got 10 points less and it turns out that they get relegated at the end of the year, yeah, some people are not going to be happy, and you hurt them where it actually hurts the most.
No, absolutely. Yeah, fine's not going to do it. A closed stadium's not even going to do it. I mean, it might help the closed stadiums at least a bit of another
for a year
level you can go to. But
closed stadium for not two games, Dwayne. You have to do it for months and months so that you drive the point home, I think.
Yeah, because they're missing out the opportunity to get under the skin and to help out in the way that they see fit. I mean, that's all there, right? But yeah, points are the way to go. They've already sort of the seeds have been laid for this. We are seeing in France where games have been stopped because the referee now has it within their authority to stop games when they can identify racist or offensive, whatever ist you can put in there, stuff coming from the stands. And so far, it's mostly racism they're talking about. We haven't even got into sexism and well, we touched on homophobia. So there's a lot of stuff that we can go here with. But they have the ability to stop games now, and they have on a couple of occasions done so. Okay, well, that's a good first step. I say, and I'm happy with the reset button right now, that everyone's on equal standing so that, you know, we start from scratch and we allow every team a clean slate moving forward. But we have to start somewhere, and I think that's the way to start. You get to one game, first time it happens, you suspend it, you calm things down, you start back up, no penalty beyond that. Second time it happens, game is done. Game is done, you forfeit the 3 points. Third time it happens, game's done, you're suspended for X amount of games, and you're forfeiting all those points. That kind of penalty, is the way, if they're serious about it, is the way that you do it. Now, the one caveat I'll give to this, and this is the one pushback that you have to have, that people will have, I should say, is that what you want to avoid is a situation where opposing fans are dressing up or trying to misidentify themselves as fans of their rivals and then doing those chants to try and get the point reductions for the rivals. That is a complication, I will acknowledge. I don't know quite how you handle that, but we've got to do something because this is ridiculous.
Yeah, well, that's another point too. The trying to use the rebuttal of the league or trying to use the sanction that could be levied upon a guilty party to try to twist it around and have a double agent in there to try to, yeah, for sure, it becomes nefarious and it becomes hard to police, I guess, at that point. That's why the fines have to maybe bigger than just one club. That's why the reaction of the league and the reaction of, like, if the incident happened in whichever stadium, away fan, home fans, there has to be a way that accountability maybe goes on both sides, and that might be a bit unfair, but what is fair? It's hard to even grasp how to do it, because look, we've talked about Lukaku, Dwayne, but it's not just Lukaku. When you talk about Cagliari, what you've seen on the screen now, it's Moise Kean, an Italian international, young kid playing for Juventus, being abused racially by his own countrymates, by his own same blood in Italy, yelling at him because he's a different color, or just because he plays for Juventus and we're fans of Cagliari. That kid hasn't been the same since he played early on this year with Juventus. And I think that's so, so terrible. That talent is not as good as he was because he was abused about just who he is. And that's terrible. And I think it's a good example. And it just shows you that it's not an isolated incident, especially with Cagliari. But the response has to be bigger than Cagliari. We talked about docking points. We've talked about close games. At the most extreme reaction, if it happens 4 times, 5 times over 3 years, like it has with this club, is an automatic relegation too much? Is anything too much? Could the sentence be too big for the crime?
No, of course not. But at the same time, you have to have the authorities interested in giving any kind of crime. But just to follow up on what you said, though, you know, I'm going to mention another player's name here. And a player's name that has made some of his own mistakes, admittedly, but also I can't help but think would not have maybe been in a better position to make better choices had he been more supported in dealing with stuff like this. And that, of course, is Mario Balotelli. Mario Balotelli, as I said, is sometimes his own worst enemy, but he also was subject to a lot of racism in his life and a lot of abuse in his life in various places, particularly when he was in Italy. And I can't help but think that he isn't a great example of how that has helped derail someone's career, help derail someone's choices. Because if you feel unsupported, then maybe you're going to do some wild things, because at some point you're going to say, screw it, I might as well just do what I want because no one else is going to help me anyway. And I'm not inside Mario's head. No one is. But that might have played a role there as well, for sure. And yeah, it's just, you know, I lost my train for a second, but final thought I wanted to add into what I said earlier about the opposing fans, that is a possibility. But at the same time, generally if the referee's hearing it, there's more than a few guys sneaking in with false mustaches on it, right? I have a hard time believing that there would be mass times where like thousands of opposing fans were somehow sneaking in without being noticed. So it is a bit of a false flag when you get that sort of that conversation going. I just wanted to put it out there because I know some people will say it.
Yeah, and you can't live life thinking that way either. You have to act on what you think is on people's best intentions, and cannot act just to counteract a few bad apples. But in this case, it's not just a few bad apples with the case of Cagliari, and something needs to be done. Hopefully something is done, and hopefully this is the last incident we've seen in a little while for Cagliari fans. I doubt it, because just this year is the third incident we've seen in 2019, plus the 2018 incident with Moise Kean. And, well, in 2018 it was Blaise Matuidi, and the year before it was other players. A player from Koulibaly from Napoli earlier this year too, with Cagliari fans as well. So no, you're talking about a lot of examples coming from the same places, and mostly Cagliari. But it does exist somewhere else in Italy, and it does exist as well elsewhere in Europe and the entire world. Just look at River and Boca. And sometimes the reasoning of a fan saying, I'm just saying this, my intent is not to be racist, my intent is to get that player, to get the opponent to react badly to what I'm saying so that he fucks up on the pitch. Well, still not good, still not okay, especially not for their reason.
Well, no, as I said, if that is their intention, then the only way to combat that is to make sure that there is a greater risk for them doing that than there is a potential reward. And I don't actually believe that there's much crowds can do to negatively affect play. I mean, most athletes that I've ever met are more inspired to shut them up than they are distracted by it. And the more extreme it is, the more, you know, motivated they can be. That's not to say they aren't hurt, but they are generally, you know, we all, as you said, the equivalent of punching them in the mouth would be to score on their goal, right? So it is, I think, kind of a bit of a false idea anyway that it even would work. But it's ridiculous to take that train of thought, as we say. And it's, you know, there are ways to be edgy without crossing the line. That is the bottom line. No one, you don't need to do monkey
be clever.
Be clever, exactly.
Like, make a fun joke. Like, the best reactions I've seen from players, like opposing team player, it's okay to, I'm going to be careful how I phrase this, but it's okay to go to the clever route, make a little pun, a little joke. Sometimes the opponent will even chuckle and be like, yeah, okay, that's a good one. And that, you might actually have more rapport, more interaction, and a better reaction from the opponent that actually might distract them more if you make them laugh than if you make them angry. But I'm just saying, be smart about it. Be clever about it. Make a pun. Make a joke. Don't go to the slippery slide. The dark side, it's easy. That's why it's called the dark side. It's easy to go there. It's not as easy to be clever and funny and, as well, some sort of respectful, too.
Yeah, look, in terms of people that might say it's a slippery slope to sanitation, if you start to eliminate speech and they start to call it free speech issue, I'll paraphrase the famous quote that a Supreme Court judge made back in the United States when they were ruling on a pornographic case. He said, like, he said that I don't know what porn, I can't define porn, but I know it when I see it. And that's essentially what I'm saying here. You can't exactly define what crosses the line, really. We know this does, but exactly. You can't exactly define it, but you know it when you hear it. And this definitely crosses that line. And you should all be smart enough to either know not to cross that line or be smart enough to tell the person beside you or tell your leadership or your group or tell your club that the line's being crossed to prevent it from being crossed again. And beyond the punishment to the individual, which absolutely should happen too, stadium bans, lifetime bans, whatever it takes, you need to have some kind of suspension, some kind of fine, some kind of legitimate hurtful to the club punishment that will stick and will let drive it home, so that even if it's for cynical reasons, they don't want to hurt the club anymore, they'll stop doing it.
Yeah, I agree. And what do you think we should be doing about, well, us or Syria or FIFA or UEFA? What should be done about the recent racism incident in Italy, Syria? Let us know on social media. Dwayne's at 24th Minute. I'm at Kev Larame, and this show is at Soccer Today, SBN. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern with another edition of The World of Football with a Soccer Perspective. Thank you for your support. You can support us at patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. $2 a month will give you access to the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast, 4 shows a month, once weekly. Yesterday, we had on our most recent episode, Rob Friend, co-founder, co-owner of Pacific FC, Canadian soccer legend, joined us to talk about Vancouver Island, to talk about Pacific FC, talk about his career, talk about development in Canadian players, and as well, the future of the landscape of Canadian soccer. And you can find this at patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. Until tomorrow, as always, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.